Welcome, everyone. It's getting to be that rummy time of year. Senator Walker and I literally raced to be here, to beat each other to committee today. That's why we're all out of breath. Let the record show that Senator Walker won, but she started out ahead.
She still came in third and fourth.
Okay, we're going to start today by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2379. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. House Bill 2379 relates to the treatment of possession of heroin or 3-4, I won't even say the word, it's ecstasy, as a Class A misdemeanor, then a Class C felony. Until last session, Oregon separated controlled substances by schedule classification. That was according to the federal system of Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3, Schedule 4 controlled substances. Thus, whether a defendant possessed heroin, ecstasy, or marijuana, the charge would be the same, possession of a controlled substance, Schedule 1, or otherwise known as PCS-1. Cocaine and methamphetamine possession would be charged as possession of a controlled substance, Schedule 2, or PCS-2. PCS-1 was a Class B felony, but PCS-2 was a Class C felony. The classification system made it difficult for Oregon to track prosecutions of specific drugs. Due in part to this concern, in 2005, Oregon carved out specific statutes for each of the major controlled substances, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, marijuana, and ecstasy. House Bill 2379 fixes an unintended consequence of this reclassification. ORS 161.570 provides the district attorney with the authority to treat any Class C non-person felony or certain Class B non-person felonies, possession of over an ounce of marijuana and the crime of PCS-1, as Class A misdemeanors. Technically, after this reclassification, the district attorney no longer has the authority to treat possession of heroin or possession of ecstasy as a misdemeanor. This is because these crimes used to be classified under the heading PCS-1, but they no longer are because now they have their own specific statutes. ORS 475.854 is unlawful possession of heroin, and 475.874 is unlawful possession of ecstasy. House Bill 2379 adds these statutes to the list of crimes that the district attorney may treat as a Class A misdemeanor and restores the law to what it was previously.
Thank you. Before we get into our witnesses, counsel, is this another glitch that came out of the meth package where we reclassified the drugs in the meth package?
Chair Burdick, yes, it is.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pozanski.
And also, counsel, what I just heard you say is currently heroin and the other drug you said are no longer classified as Schedule 1s. They're their own separate?
Senator Pozanski, they are still within the federal Schedule 1, but for Oregon prosecution purposes,
right,
we used to prosecute them as PCS-1s,
right,
and that is no longer the case. Now they have their specific statutes. So now if I were going to prosecute possession of heroin, it wouldn't be PCS-1. It would be unlawful possession of heroin or unlawful possession of ecstasy.
Okay.
And committee, just to refresh all our memories, we did this in the meth package. It was really unrelated to the core purpose of the meth package, but we did this so that we can keep closer track of which drugs are an issue at any given time in Oregon. It just allows the collection of data in a more systematic way.
And
but
Chair,
we didn't quite do it right in a couple of cases.
I'm going to make an attempt to say what ecstasy really is. Methylene dioxymethamphetamine.
Oh, tremendous.
But you're probably right.
can you repeat
four.
That,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, 3-4. Right. But you forgot the 3-4. You got to have the 3-4 in there and make it.
3-4. Methyl.
3-4. Methylene dioxymethamphetamine.
There
I can
go.
Do supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, very, very, very good.
Backwards, too.
Okay.
All right.
Getting down to business here, we have Representative Boquist here joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, for the record, I'm Brian Boquist, State Representative, 23rd House District. And I thought I should come over and explain my no vote on the House floor on this bill. And I think it was raised unintended consequences. On the surface, and previously, this is, in fact, you know, for prosecution, maybe a good idea. And, in fact, if you look at LFO's documentation, there's a savings of $274 in public defender costs when we take this course of action. And under this course of action, it may, in fact, as testified on by the carrier and other people on the floor of the House, it may be it may lead to more convictions and plea bargaining and things like that. However, I want to go back to the unintended consequences of exactly why I voted against it, at least a handful of other members voted against it. For those that aren't aware, 95% of the world's heroin-based production comes from Afghanistan. And right now we're fighting a war over there, whether we agree or disagree with it, and we have 900 soldiers in the Oregon Army National Guard over there, some of which have been killed by the Taliban. And the sale of this drug helps finance the arms and ammunition that is killing Oregon soldiers and U.S. soldiers. And again, while it's a great idea to prosecute more people, and it may lead to more prosecution, every sale in Ontario, and those who I think most of you are familiar, heroin, opium, and other opiates like that coming from Afghanistan are not creeping into the United States right now. They're flowing into the United States as production has increased 3,000% over the last 3 years in Afghanistan. So in a nutshell, I voted no on the House floor against this bill, and I would vote no again. It may be a good idea, but to treat individuals here who are helping finance a war over there, whether we agree or disagree, to me is the simple no vote. And I'm not asking you to change your mind, and I'm sure there's district attorneys and police officers who would say, yeah, this is a good idea and will result in more prosecutions. But philosophically, I just had a problem with it, as I kind of saw it as aiding and abetting those people that we don't necessarily like. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Boquist, I think if anyone has standing to come with this message, it would be you. Are there questions from the committee?
Well, only Representative Boquist, it appears that you've become the Senator Schrader of the House, because I had at least two bills in my education committee this morning that you were a no vote on. Are you one of those frequent no voters? I'm just outing you here.
Madam Chair, Senator Walker, sometimes you just say no to drugs.
Okay.
And I don't recall the education bills. Sorry.
No to education.
Our new motto, just say no to education.
Well, they might have been general government bills, because that's both my committee. I think they were. But you were a no vote, and I was curious. So I'm going to start tracking your record.
Madam Chair, Senator Walker, I'll be happy to go back and look at it and come visit you.
Okay, good. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for coming, Representative Boquist. Okay, we have signed up Kathy Sawyer. No, I got it wrong.
Katie.
Jeez, I got
it's probably my penmanship. Good afternoon. My name is Katie. It's K-A-T-I-E, Suver, S-U-V-E-R. I'm a deputy district attorney in Marion County here on behalf of the Oregon District Attorney Association.
The Katie was correct. The Suver, your penmanship was bad.
I apologize for that. I apologize for that, Madam Chair. And members of the committee, thank you for hearing my testimony this afternoon. I'm here in support of this bill because it truly is, as committee counsel has already indicated to you, a house cleaning bill. That is, prior to the legislative renumbering, which occurred in the meth package last legislative session, we essentially charged all possession under one statute, 475.992. Those statutes were renumbered to better allow us to keep statistics. We missed a couple of statutes that we needed to correct. So the District Attorneys Association has no opposition whatsoever to this bill. We do believe that it simply corrects what should have been renumbered last session and was not. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Obviously, with Representative Boquist's testimony, he does bring up a valid point, but this is a discretionary decision that has been with the district attorneys for a number of years, and we are seeing more ecstasy cases, and it was something that we didn't see typically a number of years ago when the statute was passed. But because it is in Schedule 1 for simple possession, that can be treated as a misdemeanor.
Okay, and let the record show that you are way more timely in finding glitches than the Department of Justice. Pat yourself on the back and do pronounce the real name for ecstasy or you can't have your bill.
3,4-methylenedioxymethamphetamine.
Whoa. Okay. I'm speechless.
That's the way you say it.
Any questions from the committee?
Senator Walker, you said it perfectly, actually.
Yeah, yes. Very good. Okay, thank you
very
much.
Thank you. Take your job.
I'm going to probably
pays more.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2379 and open a work session on House Bill 2379.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2379 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 2379 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Walker, I think you'll carry this bill since we can count on you to pronounce it right.
All righty.
Okay. Now, we have next on our agenda a public hearing on House Bill 2782. Council.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. House Bill 2782 relates to precursor substance transactions and optical isomers. It comes from the Meth Task Force, some reforms to existing law. ORS 475.940 to 475.980 discuss precursor substances and related offenses. Generally, precursor substances refer to chemicals that are needed to manufacture illegal drugs. ORS 475.940 identifies over 40 specific precursor substances, including pseudoephedrine, red phosphorus, and certain forms of iodine. ORS 475.950 makes the failure to report certain precursor substance transactions in the proper manner, meaning to the Oregon State Police, a Class A misdemeanor. There is presently a list of 8 exceptions to this reporting requirement in ORS 475.950 sub 2. House Bill 2782 adds a 9th exception for persons who sell or transfer, quote, an isomer of a precursor substance unless it is an optical isomer, close quote. Generally, an isomer refers to a chemical species with the same number and types of atoms as another chemical species, but possessing different properties. An optical isomer refers to chemical species that are mirror images of one another. I can't take that analysis any more deep than that. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Did you get in chemistry council?
I think that was a C+.
Okay.
Federal statutes, my understanding is, have already addressed the isomer, optical isomer issue, and this class of transaction presents no need for reporting is the motivation for the bill.
Okay, now to find out what the bill really does, I'll call on Rob Bovet and Mike Dingman from OSP.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Rob Bovet, wearing my hat as legal counsel for the Oregon Narcotics Enforcement Association. I am admittedly a certifiable weirdo. I really do like organic chemistry. I will try to keep this succinct and short. This is also a technical correction, but not to the meth package in 2005. It's actually from a precursor bill I drafted in 2001. And so it takes me 6 years to figure out I need to fix things.
Ooh, you're getting right up there with the Department of Justice.
Yeah,
you better
I know.
Start to worry.
Here's the deal. As counsel very eloquently described, basically isomers are the same chemical formula configured differently in molecules. So let's just give you an example using my hands. Let's say we had a molecule that my hand represents, has a palm, 4 fingers, and a thumb. Say my right hand also represents another molecule, has a palm, 4 fingers, and a thumb. So these are isomers of each other, but they're clearly not the same. They're mirror images of each other. So now let's say we had a third hand, and I can't do this because my body won't conform this way, but say we chopped all 4 fingers off and glued them to my palm. We'd have a weird-looking hand. That would also be an isomer because it's got a palm, 4 fingers, and a thumb. But it's not an optical isomer. Optical isomers are mirror images of each other, like my right and my left hand. When we talk about precursor substances, I'll just give you an example. Let's say this is ephedrine and this is pseudoephedrine. We chop off a thumb, you get methamphetamine. Either way, but if I had a weird-looking hand with 4 fingers coming out, you chop off the thumb, you don't get meth. You get, as it turns out, printer ink for Hewlett-Packard. So here's the point. There are many, many isomers of precursor substances, but we are only concerned about optical isomers that reduce the same to the same types of controlled substances. So the very smart people from Hewlett-Packard, the scientists, pointed out to Mr. Dingman and myself earlier this year that, oh my goodness, that bill you've been working on off and on for various sessions, you didn't limit the reporting to optical isomers. Do you really want us to flood the OSP fax machine with every time we exchange one of these bizarre chemicals that converts into printer ink? And we said, please, please, no. And so we agreed to at least provisionally essentially apply the statute in a way that limited it to optical isomers, but we did promise them we would come before you and fix this. And as counsel correctly stated, Congress has done the same thing. I should have caught it in 2001. I didn't. Should have caught it in 2003 and 2005. I still didn't. But I'm glad they called my attention to it so we can fix it now so we don't have the fax machines at OSP getting flooded with, you know, scientists discovering various isomers that we don't need reported.
And you're confident that the meth cooks of tomorrow won't be able to use this somehow to their advantage to manufacture drugs?
Madam Chair, I'm pretty confident that the meth cooks of tomorrow, but, you know, who knows what tomorrow brings in terms of some new synthetic drug, and, you know, gosh knows what precursors could be used, but we'll have to address those when they arise. You've given OSP authority to provisionally list additional precursors, and we would obviously be back in front of you if we had another significant synthetic drug event where we needed your help in assisting to restrict. I thought I'd just mention in passing, and so that's basically what I explained on the front page of the testimony, but because this is really kind of a unique theme for me in the sense that this is the first legislative session in a long time that I have not come to you asking for additional precursor restrictions. And that's primarily because of what you did last session with controlling ephedrine and pseudoephedrine. You can see from the chart I've given you on the next page that the precursor restrictions you put in place in 2005 have had not only dramatic results that far exceeded what I expected, but really kind of almost bewildering dramatic results in this sense. We used to average about 40 meth lab incidents a month in Oregon, kind of like clockwork. Through a series of progressive controls on ephedrine and pseudoephedrine, you can see the numbers now, and pretty much they're getting close to zeroed out, but I will tell you they have, as a practical matter, zeroed out. That two in 2007, for example, January 2007 reflects 2, March reflects 1. All of those are dump sites, are old box labs. Same is true for the numbers in October, November, December. So the reality is we've gone 7 months now without a single true meth lab incident in the state of Oregon. We went from averaging 40 a month to zero. We have not just reduced meth labs, we've eliminated them in the state of Oregon. And so I really thank you for the strong efforts and energy that all of you put into thinking logically about meth and how to control it. We got rid of meth labs. We certainly didn't get rid of meth. So we got a lot more work to do this session. And as you know, we're working hard on it. So I just thought I'd throw that in as well and just let you know why I haven't asked you for additional precursor restrictions this session. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, and thank you for putting together this chart. It reminds me of Senator Byers' comment when somebody suggested that banning or requiring a prescription for pseudoephedrine wasn't necessary because we could reduce labs by 50%, which pretty much shows up here. And I remember Senator Beyer commenting that where he went to high school, 50% was not a passing grade. And I would hope even Senator Beyer would say we are definitely passing now. Did I get that sort of right?
Pretty close, yeah.
So thank you very much, and thanks for putting this chart together. It's a good way to arrange it. Are there questions from the committee? Mr. Dingman.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I'm Mike Dingaman. I'm a lieutenant with the Oregon State Police Drug Enforcement Section. I oversee our drug section for the state police statewide. And I ditto what Rob has said. He's eloquently stated what it is we're trying to achieve. And I'm just here to answer any questions in the event that there was something that came up that Rob couldn't answer.
Any questions for Mr. Dingaman? Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2782. Open the work session on House Bill 2782. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2782 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 2782 to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Brzezinski, I remember being on your committee last session when you did the precursor issue. So would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, we've got one more bill left. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2869. Change councils. Fill in with small talk for a moment. Council.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2869 comes to you at the request of Rob Bouvet of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. Extends the time period from 15 to 20 days that a sheriff has to sell property pursuant to garnishment, authorizes the sheriff to serve as a facsimile copy of an eviction summons, a complaint, And Champlain authorizes the sheriff to use reasonable force to remove individuals subject to judgment when the enforcement of judgment and restitution authorizes law enforcement agencies to forcibly enter specified premises to enforce an order of assistance pertaining to custody or to enforce a family abuse prevention custody provision, authorizes the sheriff to serve and enter law enforcement data system a facsimile copy of a FAPA restraining order, declares an emergency effective upon passage.
Okay, we have Mr. Bovet back, and I see some sheriffs back there, and anyone's welcome to come up and join him. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, wearing my hat now as legal advisor to the Civil Division of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, this is another technical corrections, or actually probably a law improvement bill is the way you'd categorize it. Every couple of sessions, I assist the Civil Division of the Sheriff's Association with bringing improvements to existing statutes based on evolving case law, evolving technology, a variety of issues. And thankfully, we have here with us today, and I've listed it on the front page of my testimony, we have three of the five members of the Brain Trust of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. So we've also attached their section-by-section explanation for these technical corrections and law improvements. We did work some amendments on the House side to either further improve the bill as requested by the Judicial Department. Believe this bill passed. I don't know if you can say unanimously. It didn't have any opposing votes. I think there were a couple of people excused.
Not even Representative Boquist, huh?
Not even Representative Boquist. And I'm happy to answer questions that I can from a 50,000-foot level, but if you do have any questions on the details of how this stuff really works on the ground, thankfully then they are all here, and they can probably answer any of your questions, because I freely admit to a very limited knowledge of a lot of this stuff.
Okay, and what prompted this? Did any particular issue come up, or is this just a regular statute-by-statute?
Madam Chair, it's more of a regularized thing. These folks and their two counterparts basically accumulate quirks and weird things that happen over the course of two biennia, and they come to me with kind of a short laundry list saying, hey, Rob, we need to tune up this or that. We need to deal with fax machines. We need to deal with whatever it is. And I craft a piece of legislation for them, and this is what you have here in this session to make these tune-ups. I'm sure I'll be back with them in two or three more sessions with another law improvement bill.
I think your testimony is kind of dry. I want to hear about some of these quirks. All right. Counsel.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Bovet, I assume that the use of a facsimile for the legal document, summons and complaint, will greatly facilitate the work of the sheriffs in serving these documents. Is that correct?
I'm going to, and I think the answer is yes, but I'm going to defer to talk about facts.
Chair Burdick, Council, members of the committee, I'm Brian Wallace with Marion County Sheriff's Office. I'm the Chief Civil Deputy there. And the answer to your question about fax machines is that there's a lot of counties in this state that are extremely large, and their county seat sits at one end of the county or in the middle. We are bound by eviction statutes, and that we have to serve those processes by the end of the next judicial day. So we have literally one day to serve these summons and complaints. So this allows us to fax those summons and complaints to perhaps resident deputies in the far-reaching corners of a particular county, such as Malheur, Klamath, etc. So that's the whole basis behind this.
So you wouldn't be faxing to the person who's receiving one of these orders. You'd be sending it to a deputy to serve it.
Chair Burdick, absolutely not. Okay. So.
Okay. Did you want to say anything?
Only if needed.
Okay. I want to hear about... Well, never mind. Okay. Are there any questions from the committee? Senator Barr? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2869A and open a work session on House Bill 2869A. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2869A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 2869A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Cruz, would you like to carry this?
Love to.
Okay. All right. Any other business before the committee? We are adjourned.
Next Monday on bills or something.